This is Jody Apple.
Our theme for this week is Jesus Loves Me. You know, and I know, we all know the children's song that goes by that name. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Three times the refrain, yes, Jesus loves me, followed by, the Bible tells me so. Two very quick observations about this theme and this song as we begin. The expression, for the Bible tells me so, indicates the fact, that is, the reality, of Jesus' love for all mankind. But that expression, for the Bible tells me so, also indicates something about the extent, that is, the depth, of that love that Jesus has for all humanity. We need to know that Christ's love for us is relational. It is related to the Father's love for the Christ. It is related to the Christ love for the Father. It is related to Christ's love for the apostles, and it is related to the apostles' love for the Christ. And it is also related to the apostles' love for God the Father. Because of all of these other relationships, we note that the love that God has for the apostles is based upon their love for the Son. It's not only related to God's love for the apostles, but it's also just why, how, and how much both God the Father and Christ the Son loved us. Not just the apostles, not just first century Christians, but us, even today. Today's lesson will continue our overview of the eight distinct aspects of divine love. Divine love initiated in the very nature of God, obviously, but divine love that must be found returned, reciprocated, and reflected in God's people first, towards God the Father, towards God the Son, and also towards God the Spirit, but second, toward all of God's creatures made in His image, that is, to the rest of humanity. Almost all of our references, primary references in this series of studies, will explore the extent of divine love as found in the Gospel of John. Our daily broadcast from Monday through Friday, the series now beginning, will explore those eight relationships in detail. One final reminder as we begin, if you have questions, comments, or criticisms, give us a call at 1-855-IGH-6988 or send us a message using the contact form at our site. That phone number again, 1-855-IGH-6988. And the website is internationalgospelhour.com in order to access our contact email form. Jesus loves me. Love, in the context of the book of John, addresses these principles. First, it addresses God's love for the world. Second, it addresses man's love for the world. Third, it addresses the Father's love for the Son. Fourth, it addresses the Son's love for the Father. Fifth, it addresses man's love for both the Father and the Son. Sixth, it addresses Jesus' love for mankind. First, for the disciples and the apostles in the first century, and second, for the disciples and the followers throughout the rest of time, the rest of history. Seventh, the biblical account of the book of John addresses Jesus' teaching about the need for the disciples to love as he and the Father love. First, it applies to the apostles and the disciples in the first century. They were to love each other as Christ loved them. Second, Jesus also taught the disciples in such a way that he was teaching next generations of disciples or followers throughout the rest of time. Throughout the rest of history, we too are to love each other as Christ loved those apostles, those disciples, and indeed as he loves us. And finally, the eighth point, we want to address the Father's love for man. All of these issues will be addressed through the course of our studies this week. Let's begin with that first point, God's love for the world. You know the verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let's think about that passage for a moment. First, note this. God loves. It is the nature of God to love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "He who does not love does not know God." Why is that the case? The rest of the passage says, "For God is love." But it's not just that the nature of God is to love. God's love is such that it is demonstrated even when those who are the beneficiaries of that love are undeserving of it. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 23, verse 5, we hear this, "Nevertheless, the Lord your God will not listen to Balaam, but the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you, because the Lord your God loves you." Though Balaam attempted to curse the children of Israel, and was successful to some extent, this passage teaches us that because of God's love for Israel at that time, he turned a curse into a blessing. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 in the New Testament says this, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Second, notice this. God loves the world. God, of course, appreciates the physical world that he created. It reflects, after all, his nature and his characteristics. But God's love for the world in John 3:16 is not a love for the physical creation, but rather a love for the spiritual creation, mankind, made in God's image. The world that God loves in this context is me, is you. The word translated as world, cosmos, has a number of definitions that are possible. First, it can mean that which serves to beautify through decoration, adornment, and adorning. It can also mean a condition of orderliness, orderly arrangement, or order. It can mean the sum total of everything here and now, that is, the world, the orderly universe. In the next place, it can mean the sum total of all beings above the level of the animals, the world in that sense. It can also refer to, in the fifth place, as planet Earth, as a place of inhabitation, that is, the world. In the sixth place, it can mean humanity in general, the world as it refers to mankind. Next, it can also refer to the system of human existence in all of its many aspects, the world as it applies to the far-reaching extent of worldly influence. And finally, it can also refer to the collective aspect of an entity, the totality, the sum total of all things, given whatever context is under consideration. The meaning of the term world in this context is best met by the sixth definition, humanity in general. How do we know that? Well, we know that from the immediate context. The next verse in the passage, John 3:17, states, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." We know that Jesus did not come to save the physical world from sin. We also know that from other passages in the book of John that use the same term, cosmos or world, in similar fashion, relating to humanity and not the physical creation. Accordingly, we note these passages. John 6:33, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Jesus came to feed lost souls. John 6:51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world," not physical, but the spiritual world. And John chapter 12, verse 47, "And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." The world that is brought out in these passages is the world that needs saving. That's a spiritual world of fallen humanity, not a physical world. God's love for the world, while most fully expressed in the life of the Christ, is a constant that we find throughout the revelation of God. In the Old Testament, for example, in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 9, as well as in 2 Chronicles chapter 9 and verse 8, we are told that the Lord loved Israel. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, the text says, "The Lord your God in your midst, the Mighty One, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing." John 16:27, "For the Father Himself loves you, because you have loved Me, and have believed that I came forth from God." Romans 5, verse 5, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us." The passage we alluded to before, Romans 5, 8, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Another passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." Notice Galatians 2:20, a well-known passage about the Apostle Paul. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." There are many other passages that detail the love of the Father and the Son for humanity, but these will suffice for now. Thank you so much for listening today.